Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.
Welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Steve is the founder of Financial Solutions for Business, the author of the Ultimate Business Owner Plan, and certified exit planning advisor. He uses his 25 years of working with successful business owners and interviews with top advisors and successful business owners to help baby boomer business owners create the business and the life they have always dreamed of. Now, here's Steve.
Thank you very much, Spike, and welcome back to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show. I'm Steve Beatty, and we are with top mergers and acquisitions attorney, Bob Anderson. Bob has worked on some very large transactions, focuses on the middle market business owner, which is obviously the audience that most of our listeners represent. And he's going to talk about how to use lawyers and accountants when selling a business. I think that the actual title should be how to properly use lawyers and accountants when selling a business. Right, Bob?
Correct, Steve.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I gave you a little of a curveball there. But, you know, you've been doing this a long time. You've been involved in a lot of interesting transactions. I think our listeners would love to hear a little bit about your background if you'd share it with us.
Okay, well, good afternoon. I was born in Florida, graduated both with an accounting and law degree from the University of Florida, and moved to Houston, where I practiced accounting with Arthur Anderson, migrated to the West into Nevada in 1978, and I've been here ever since. My practice really focuses and emphasizes representing buyers and sellers of businesses. I have a CPA certificate. I understand, obviously, profit and loss statements and balance sheets and what GAAP is and the kinds of things that come up in M&A transactions. And I have a LLM in tax law, and so, you know, I can get as sophisticated as I need to be in representing clients.
Yeah, no question. And really cover a lot of areas in that transaction where sometimes someone might need 2, 3, 4 attorneys to handle each of those specialized areas, Drew.
Yes. I can cover A to Z in most cases. I mean, there are areas like antitrust and other specific areas where we reach out for specialists. And I do, you know, I don't try to be everything for everybody. I think you get in a lot of trouble doing that.
Yep.
But in M&A transactions, I certainly can handle, you know, most of the waterfront.
So tell us about your firm and kind of your ideal client or target market that you're working with these days.
Okay, well, I'm a partner in a law firm by the name of Snell & Wilmer. We are about 420 lawyers. We reach from L.A. and Orange County all the way to Denver, including Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Tucson, Reno, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City. We have a small office in Mexico. And, you know, we are a law firm of both trial lawyers and business lawyers and everything in between. And, you know, my ideal client, kind of the sweet spot for me, I would say, is a client that has a value in the $5 to $10 million range on the low end all the way up to $150, $200 million. I mean, I've handled and been involved in billion-dollar transactions, and I've handled smaller transactions. But I would say that's the sweet spot. And, you know, there's lots of ways to exit from a business. Many times it's the sale of a business, but there's ESOP transactions, of which I'm familiar with, and there's, you know, certainly other techniques that can be used to get cash out to founders if that's what they need instead of selling the business.
Well, and I think that that's part of what makes you unique is that you look at what is the best way for the owner to exit the business that is just not sell or bust. Talk about that a little bit of how you determine that up front. How do you work with clients to figure out what's going to be the best exit strategy for them?
Well, I'll give you a great example of something I'm working on now. I was referred into a individual that owns 70%+ of a company. And, you know, he said that he wanted to sell his 100% of the company. He and the 30% owner wanted to sell, and that he wanted to stay in the business. And he's, we'll call him a mad scientist. He likes to be in the lab. And he also had two children of his brother that had passed away early, and his son involved in the business, and he wanted them to have a job. Mm-hmm. As we talked through it, I said to this individual, I said, you know, the problem is when you sell your business, they'll let you go to the lab, and what's going to happen is you're going to come up with some super great product that you think will be a barn burner, and they're going to say, well, it doesn't meet our profile, and we're not going to proceed on that. And I said, you're going to get irritated. And secondly, we can't guarantee that your boys and your nephews are going to be employed for life. So I said, you know, let's really think about what it is you want. And then so what we came up with was an ESOP transaction, an employee stock ownership plan, where he's going to, and we're actually I'm flying to you know, his offices on Wednesday, and we're going to go through kind of working on an ESOP plan, and which will allow him to exit about 50% of his ownership in the business, and yet to continue to be in the lab when he wants to be, and coaching his sons and nephews.
So those are the some terrific psychic or emotional or mental or familial benefits of that transaction. Without getting into the specifics, obviously, did it hurt him a lot financially to do that instead of doing a third-party sale?
No, it's actually a lot better for him, because he's going to be able to have some instant liquidity, which is what he would like to have, so he can kind of enjoy some of the fruits of his endeavors. You know, the problem with a lot of founders is that it's really a sell or no sell situation. Is that if they want liquidity, they have to sell all of their company. That oftentimes is not what's best for them. So you have situations like ESOPs. I'm working on another transaction where private equity firm is going to come in and buy 60% of the company and let the client ride on the 40% because we think that the PE firm will invest significant capital and drive some value, so there'll be a second exit for them, and I'm familiar with those. And you know, those turned out really well through about 2007, 2008, and been some bad years here over the last couple of years, but I think we're on an upswing now, and that's another option. So there's so many different ways to get liquidity you really need to ask the client, what is it that they want? And in this particular case, once I heard he wanted to be in the lab, he wanted his kids involved, he needed liquidity, but he didn't need to sell the entire business. We were able to really think through that process and come up with a solution that T is very comfortable with.
Well, and I think that does differentiate you, that you ask the questions and get clear on what is it that they're trying to achieve. But I think that the other thing that I've seen you do is really educate clients on what those different options are, so that they get the pros and cons, and they get the trade-offs, because there is no silver bullet for anybody. There's always trade-offs. How did you kind of come to that conclusion that was a smart strategy to educate clients pretty thoroughly?
Well, you know, the thing to understand, this person is an example, but probably in 95% of the cases where I represent sellers of businesses, this is the first time they've ever been through it. So,
right.
So there's a real deer in the headlight look, and the buyers have done this oftentimes dozens of times. So there's a real need to level the playing field, and you know, while both myself and my team members have the ability to do that, it's really important for the client to understand it. So when somebody comes to me and says they want to sell their business or they have a buyer for their business, I sit down and I ask them kinds of questions. Why do you want to sell? And, you know, what are the circumstances? Sometimes it's a distressed situation and they have to sell, or there's an illness or a health problem. Sometimes they thought they were going to, you know, bring their kids involved, and the kids just aren't the right people to be involved in the business. So I asked lots of questions. I listened to them like I did in this one case with the ESOP. And then we collectively come up with some alternatives, and then I walk them through the aspects of a transaction. I want them to understand that there's a, you know, kind of the dance, the letter of intent, and then you go into due diligence, and I give them a due diligence questionnaire list, which is, you know, usually, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 pages long. There's hundreds of things that they want. Copies of insurance policies going back 5 years. And so I kind of get them warmed up to that. I walk them through the major provisions of the acquisition agreement, if it's just a sale, and the merger agreement. So they understand the importance of reps and warranties. They understand the importance of telling everything. I use the example of a life insurance policy. And, of course, Steve, you're familiar with this, is that, you know, a guy comes in and he has a heart problem. He doesn't tell the insurance company, so he buys a life insurance policy, and he thinks that he's got coverage. And then, of course, he passes away, and insurance company finds out that he wasn't truthful, and so there's not the coverage that they expect. The same is true with reps and warranties. If you don't tell the buyer the bad news, then you're always looking over your shoulder. So, you know, I really educate the client. Let's get it all out there on the table. It's much better to know now what that bad fact's going to do to the value than it is to know after the fact what it's going to do to the value.
That's a great tip, and that's the type of thing that our listeners need to hear. And so share some more of those. We talk about, you know, tips and strategies and precautions for business owners. What are some other ones that come to mind as someone is contemplating exiting their business?
Well, an area that you're familiar with, because I know you're a SEPA, I think really preparing for the sale of the business. Now, you know, sometimes clients can look out 2 to 3 years and say, well, I'm 63 years old and I want to sell in 3, 4, 5 years. And they sit down with a SEPA, somebody like that, and really get to understand what they need to do to plan for that exit. So in other times, the buyer just comes in unexpectedly. I'm working on a transaction right now where the buyer came in unexpectedly and made an offer that the client's just, you know, amazed at. And the other thing is, you have to talk the client off the ledge a little bit and say, listen, you know, if there's one buyer, there's two, right? So you don't need to take the first offer, although, you know, oftentimes it's more money than they ever thought they'd sell their business for. So there's, you know, some interest in kind of rushing to take that first offer. But you really need to be prepared. And I was listening to part of the last individual's presentation on your show. And, yeah, I mean, you really need the company needs to be able to operate without the founder. If you haven't set that up, then there's going to be a discount to the value of your business, or you're going to have to stay in the business for some longer period of time than perhaps you want. And sometimes that's difficult because being the founder, you think the company ought to be run X way, and the new buyer thinks, no, it shouldn't. And there's right away there's tension and there's difficulty. And so I think it's coaching clients through that expectation as well, what it's going to be like to be an employee rather than a founder.
Have you seen any situations that come to mind where it worked out really well? They had prepared the business properly and were ready to exit, and the business had value that wasn't dependent on the owner, or any situations where it went pretty bad and the former owner, who now employee, was very unhappy and things didn't work out so well. Either of those stories come to mind, Bob?
Well, a bad story had a client, and this goes back to, you know, probably 2000, 2001. Client sells his business for $94 million cash, stays in the business. It was bought by a foreign company. The foreign company comes in, bring some of their people in. They want to run the business the way that they think it ought to be run. My guy was an entrepreneur, and he really knew how to make a deal. They wanted to kind of do it more, and it was a British company. It was the acquire the British way, if you will. And that client lasted in there about 18 months. He left, and they ultimately shut the business down and didn't get a penny for it.
Oh, my
God. So, that's just a case. Now, another story, a Las Vegas story, husband and wife, the husband, both very, very, very smart people. The wife was kind of on the accounting side. The husband was kind of on the sales side. And they had a plan. They had a, 3 to 6 year plan. They knew exactly what they needed to do to get to the point where they could sell their business. They had a number in mind that they wanted to sell it for. And they had it all mapped out. Everything was going great. And like in year four, buyer comes in and offers them more money than they were thinking they were going to get in year six. And the guy was an entrepreneur, very much of an entrepreneur. And I bet him that he couldn't last there for 6 months because I just didn't think his personality would make it. Great wife. It's now been 16 months. He's still there. They're expanding internationally. They basically gave him all the rope he needed. And they just let him alone and let him just say, why should we? I tell the story. The guy has a very successful, the woman has a very successful restaurant. Let's say it's an Italian restaurant. Seats, we'll say 50 people. Buyer comes in, expands it from 50 seats to 100 seats, and he starts changing the menu items and changes the wine list and things of that sort. And, the business shuts down because the traditional customers liked what they liked. Didn't need to make a change. So, the British example, they came in, they made lots of changes, they ran off customers. This more recent example, the buyer came in, let the guy and his wife run the business, and very successful.
We're getting close to the end of our time period here, but I'd love to just get one more tip or precaution, especially a precaution as you're going into this. Especially applies to mindset or expectations. What are some precautions that you give business owners as they're starting to think about exiting their business?
Well, number one, be ready to walk away. It's not atypical for the buyer, PE firms, private equity firms, and we represent some of those, but not very many in this marketplace. But, the private equity firm comes in and says, okay, I'll buy your business for $30 million. And then right away they start chipping away at that $30 million and, because they're trying to get some of that money back through reps and warranties, through working capital provisions and things of that sort. So number one, be ready to walk away. Don't get so deep into it that you can't walk away. That's number one. Number two, work with your accountant, your CPA, your financial people. Build a team. Business lawyers are business lawyers, and then M&A lawyers are M&A lawyers. And you really want somebody, and we've got lots of great M&A lawyers in Southern Nevada, a great, great group of people, guys and girls and ladies. And you really you want somebody that does this a lot, so they know what's market. They know what the buyers are demanding and what reps and warranties look like these days. So really get yourself a skilled team. The accountants know more about the business than any of the other professionals typically, so they've got to be part of the team. They've got to be involved.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Bob. Your wisdom, we could talk all day, but I think we're just about out of time. So if someone's wanting to explore, what's the best way for me to exit? How can they get in touch with you and start that process with you, Bob?
Well, they can call me on my direct line at the office, 702-784-5386. I'm more than happy to talk to people, to spend some time with them, to help them understand what they need to think about if they're interested in selling their business, or if they have a buyer or they think they're going to get an offer pretty soon, to talk them through what the next steps are and how to prepare for it.
So 702-784-5386 is your direct landline.
Yep.
Bob, I really appreciate you taking time on a Friday afternoon. I know you're in the middle of some heavy transactions with a lot going on. So thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day, and I look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Have a great
All right. Thank you, Bob. That was Bob Anderson from Snell Wilmer, one of the top mergers and acquisitions attorneys in the country. We'll be back with you with Scott Bullock.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Please visit ultimatebusinessowner.com to contact Steve for more tips, strategies, and precautions to help you create the business and the life you have always dreamed of. Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.